question is, will we welcome that? Will we accept that? He wants to cover over our shortcomings, our failures, and our sins with the snow-white wool of His grace. The question is, will we allow Him to do that? Will we cooperate with Him in that? Does anybody feel like they have a word that the Lord put on their heart?
I keep hearing the Lord say, don't disengage. Don't disengage. We press into worship, and sometimes when the music stops, it's almost like inside we take a step back. Don't disengage. Press in. Stay in that place. Do the readings. We go up to Eucharist. Don't disengage. There's more.
Hey, it blew me away what you just said, because while we were worshiping, at the end, when Father Mark was began to sing in the Spirit, I saw a dove come and land on his shoulder. And then I felt one land on my shoulder. And then I saw them everywhere. The whole church was full of doves, and they were landing on everyone. And he was saying, you are my beloved sons and my beloved daughters, just the same thing he said to you.
You know, as I was worshiping, I was saying, Lord, what you said to me, did you really say that? So I'm still going through that, and my newbiness, still kind of new, with hearing from God and knowing that it's Him. But He said, the struggle is over. The struggle is over. If you've ever seen someone that's drowning, and I swim like a rock, but when they're struggling, they're more likely to drown when someone's trying to save them. But if they just relax and let go, it has to do with trust. It has to do with faith. It has to do with letting go. And if we just let go of the struggle, so many struggles in our life, they will continue to come. But we've got to learn to let go and then let God do what He does. When we're struggling, we're all in the way. We're delaying our blessings. We're delaying what He has for us. The struggle is over. It's over. Over. Done. Paid for. Relax. Let go. And just go with Him. Flow with Him. As we flowed with Him this morning, praising Him. What a beautiful worship this morning. You know, so just the struggle is over. Let go.
Piggybacking off what you just said, I was thinking when we were singing Dance With Me, O Lover of My Soul, I kept hearing God say, let go.
It's funny, twice I stood up, and that was Jennifer, and it was Mary. It's like, okay, Lord, you know, is this what I'm supposed to say or not? It's like, I'm not sure if it's fitting, but I think it really is, because you talked about the struggle. Marion was confirming it. And as I was listening to you, it's like, okay, Lord, is this flowing with what you're wanting to say? We all have struggles. And part of the reason, too, we need to let go of the struggle is that it's getting in the way, not only with what God wants to do with us, but is what God wants to do out there. And we're getting caught up. I'm getting caught up. Mm. We're all, I won't say all, generally speaking, we're getting caught up that we're losing sight of the kingdom and what God wants to do. It's so much bigger than us. Mm. And what God has been speaking to me over time, and He confirmed it at a meeting, that Elise and I went to Thursday night, and it's so simple, so basic. And it's a message we first received for ourselves. But the Lord is speaking it to me the way he intended it. And it's this: for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. For God so loved the world. It didn't say, for God so loved the church, or God so loves Bridget, or God so loves David. He does. Yes, 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 yes. But God so loved the world. Okay? God wants us to get out of our struggles, let the Holy Spirit, the anointing of that dove, fall on us so that we can love the world. And God's taught me personally, with my daughter going to a secular school, which I was so afraid of. But that's where God opened the door. She's had her challenges and all. But that's where God is, not only for her, but for us, because God has taught me through that, love the world. She has so many friends who are unbelievers. But they love her. She loves them. And guess what? Mama has to love them too. But also, Mama's been praying for them. That's God's heart. He takes us where we never thought we should go, where we cut off because we're Christian. And there are people among her saying, I want nothing to do with Christianity. I want nothing to do with religion, because they've seen us the way we should have been. And God is saying, love the world. They are desperately in need of my love. Yes.
Anyone else?
You know, sometimes when you have an opportunity to prepare a homily and you get it all set and ready to go, and you just pray that the Holy Spirit comes and takes over, and then he comes and takes over. And then you just want to wait and just rest in that and just to be there. So I'm not really sure I have anything to say. What I do want to say is I'd like Jane to give that word again that you had this morning, and then Father Don, if you could give that word that you just had.
So all of those plans that you had kind of scripted out in your mind through the years about various things, marriages, careers, whatever, that didn't go the way you thought. And you look back with some sense of sadness when you look back at it, like it's lost. Somehow you ended up on another road by accident. And God doesn't want you to live there. Doesn't want me to live there, looking back, mourning something. He wants me to declare his plan better. His plan is better. He stuck me in a plan, and maybe I'm in the middle of it and I don't understand. This is looking messy. I don't see how this is all going to work together. This is a better plan, and I'm going to declare it. He doesn't want us to get stuck somewhere in the middle. Say this is good enough. Maybe, you know, you get partway up the mountain. He wants you to go all the way to the peak and see how gorgeous it is. He doesn't want us to settle for halfway up. This is good enough. Or, you know, to sit down and give up. So he's giving us courage in transition, in that middle place. Don't settle for halfway. Go for the peak. That's where he wants to take us. That's what he's got for us. He wants us to enjoy everything, all of his promises, all of his blessings. Don't hold back. He wants to give us an adventurer's spirit.
Thank you, Jane. Father Don, I have you take that microphone. And...
So the word that I gave Father Mark had two words that were attached to it: obstacles, barriers, and signposts. And that's three, but the obstacles and barriers were like one, and then the signposts were like two. And just sort of pondering that, it was interesting that the Lord sort of gave me a vision of like a floor, for instance, that this floor that we have been walking on today, and but just sort of symbolic of where we're going. And there was a path that the Lord has us on. You know, it's different from ours, thankfully, or we wouldn't be here. And so the Lord just sort of let me look underneath, you know, like you see the what's going on up here and then what's going on underneath. And I saw underneath this, you know, those in airports, if you're in a hurry, especially Father Terry with his, you know, short stride and all that. When you're in a hurry, you can get on those track things that'll speed you along. He uses those all the time. And I saw underneath this track, and it was taking us, you know, in a direction that God wants us to go. And then I saw, you know, just people, just at various times, individuals and all of us, in a sitting, standing, lying down, walking, running. It's all just those various positions that we all get in. And it was real curious that as we were, any of us or all of us, as we were running away from the path that God has us on, that God was in control of the speed of that track. And as we were running backwards, the speed of the track moving forward just sped up. And so we weren't actually being able to make any momentum going backwards. We were either standing in our place or either being moved forward by that momentum. And then I saw as we're lying and sitting and standing still that there was this momentum that was carrying us forward. And as we were running, the momentum of our running was amplified.
So with a word about not, go ahead.
I forgot about the barriers and signposts. So those were just things that were directional. You know, they weren't getting in our way. They were guiding us along the way, the obstacles and barriers. So they were not inhibiting anything. They were essentially guiding us along the way. And the signposts were essentially letting us know kind of where we are.
So if I have the auspicious role of trying to tie all of that together, it's pretty, pretty easy to tie together. Don't disengage. The struggle's over. Let go. The Lord has us. You know, the doves. The Lord wants to tell every one of us that we are his beloved sons and daughters. And so we take all of that, and it's taking that moment and saying, I don't want to miss what it is that the Lord's saying today. And the fact that God loves out there. He loves that world. He loves that world that we engage in every single day, over and over and over again. He loves that world. And he sends us out into that world with some of what we carry with today. The dove, the message that if we have regrets, apparently he wants us to let those go, to quit looking over our shoulders, to not disengage with him, to recognize and remember who we are, because that's what we carry out into that world. And If we look at ourselves in the mirror and walk away and forget what we look like, then we're no longer caring what it is that we heard. We're no longer caring what it is, all of that the Lord wants to tell us that the struggle is over. And Marion, it's amazing because Stacy and I were talking about you this week. Nothing bad. But we were talking about you. And when you stood up and you were confirming and saying, let go, I just had this, I believe what I was hearing was that your struggle is going to be very quickly much, much easier. I don't know if you're going through something, but your struggle very quickly is going to become much, much easier. But that was the word that you had, Jennifer. It's a word, part of the word that Bridget had. So all I want to try to do to tie a little bit of this together is to try to do two things. When David Enfinger was up here a couple of months ago, and he talked about that five-step prayer model about how it is that you would pray with somebody in the marketplace. I just want to go through that very, very briefly, and then I just want to say one other thing about the dove. So if one of the ways, it's not the only way, but if one of the ways of loving people out there in the world is when you find yourself in a place to where you've got an errand that you're running, an agenda that you're on, a place that you need to go, and you have a focus as to why you're doing and where you're going with the plan that you have within the time frame in which you are working, and you find yourself out there in the marketplace and you're drawn to somebody, maybe because of the clothes that they're wearing, maybe because of there's some kind of obvious thing going on, maybe because of the look on their face. And you are somehow, you notice that. It may seem like they're distraught. It may seem as though, like I said, there's a visible kinds of thing that shows that there's a degree of, they're maybe a bit debilitated for whatever reason. Or there could just be because you look at them and for some reason you're drawn to them, or it piques your attention, that you sensitively pay attention to that, that you don't dismiss that, that you start to become more sensitive to those nudges. Is everybody with me? And let's say in that situation that you choose to take the risk. And let's say that many of you have already done that. You've already taken the risk to do that. But let's say if you haven't, then how it is that you would go about learning how to do that, to love out there in the world, just one way, might be to walk up to them and to say, I don't mean to be intrusive, or if you got just a moment, I just have this sense of just kind of drawn to you, and I was wondering if there's anything going on or anything I can pray about. And all I can tell you is my experience. It's not everybody's experience. But at this point, the number of times that I've been turned down has been zero. And they may be in a hurry, and it may be very, very quick. But in that process, that five-step model goes something like this. Can I pray for you? And if the answer is yes, then what's going on? A part if it's not obvious. Is there anything going on, anything I can pray for you about? And if they tell you briefly what it might be something to do with their family. Oftentimes, individuals may say that because they're not quite sure they want to collapse the distance too quickly to themselves. But it might be what's going on in their family, or it might be something going on in their life. And they may not really be expecting what it is that you're about to do. But it's simply asking them, is there anything going on? And if they tell you that, then you can think, okay, let's say for the sake of argument that it's something going on physically. Then you can say, well, how long have you had that? Because what you're searching for, that sensitivity, what you're searching for is what's the root? What's the cause? Did they have an accident? Are they struggling with something they've had for a long time? And you're trying to find out, okay, did anything happen recently in your life? Was there an accident or was there a loss or anything within you started experiencing? I got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, let's say. Okay? And you might ask them, so how long have you had that? Did anything happen, a year or so before that happened? Things like that. You're probing. You're just asking very, very briefly. And then you pray about it. And if there's pain or if there's distress or depression or whatever, and then you ask them, do you notice any difference? And if they say yes, great. If they say no, you say, can I pray again? And you pray again. And if it seems as though that nothing necessarily is happening at that moment, you just bless them and thank them for letting you pray for them. You got that? And what can happen is the individual may walk away from that and they may say, I don't know that I felt anything, but what happens is you may never hear this, but oftentimes about 50% of the people that you're going to pray for don't feel anything. It's really important to hear that. About 50% of the people that you pray for are not going to feel anything. But sometimes within 12 to 24 hours, all of a sudden they begin to notice that it's different. And you'll never hear about it. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about what he's doing. But it's willing to be sensitive enough to take that risk. To just experiment. Just sensitive enough to take that risk. And every once in a while, the Lord will really bless you because he'll let you know right there at that moment that that person feels better and you can think, yeah, I've got it. I've got that healing gift. But again, it's not about us, right? It's about loving that world. It's about loving that world in simple ways that we can. So, kind of that, the thing that I wanted to mention about the dove is, I got to figure out how I'm going to do this. I don't know that I've even got time to do this. Do this real, real quick, okay? In Genesis chapter 8, remember after the flood, Noah sends out, Lord, am I to do this right now? Let's have you stand. Just take somebody's hand next to you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we ask you that the word that we receive this morning about what it is that you're doing. Lord, we pray for everyone here who in any way has had a tendency to be troubled or to feel accused or condemned or walk with that kind of shadow of regret of if onlys, if only, if only, or what if, what if, what if. Lord, you told us to lay those down today. So, Lord, we pray that all of that would be broken off of everybody. Every what if, every if only. And, Lord, that's not being presumptuous, but that was a word that you spoke that you wanted us to let that go. Because you tell us that you are reminding us that we are your beloved sons and daughters and that there's a dove resting on each of us. There's a dove resting on each of us, Lord. So, Lord, I pray also right now that every struggle that anyone may be going through on behalf of another or in themselves, and they can't quite see their way through, they can see the wind. They can hear the wind and what the wind is doing and the waves and the storm and the darkness. And they want to believe, we want to believe that you are right there in the midst of that, but they have a hard time seeing that. Lord, that you would give the courage to press on, to not give up, and to hear that the word proclaimed today was a word that the struggle is going to end. Jesus. And Lord, if in any way we feel as though we're almost trying to run away from you, that you have us and you are moving us forward in spite of ourselves. Thank you that in spite of what it is that we think we know, that you are still moving us forward. So, Lord, as you began this day by allowing us just to rest in you, rest in your presence, let us first and foremost cultivate your love for us, the dove that rests on us, and to be so sensitive to the promptings of your Holy Spirit that we don't miss it and in any way cause that dove to fly away. But be reminded, Lord, reminded, reminded, reminded of who we are. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Therefore, we forbid any sickness or disease to come upon our bodies. Every disease, germ, virus, harmful bacteria, fungus, infection, venom, poison, parasite that would touch our bodies would begin to die instantly in the name of Jesus. That every organ and tissue, bone and system of our bodies would begin to function in the perfection to which God has created them to function. And therefore we forbid any malfunction in our bodies in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over any spirit, not of the Holy Spirit, and we bind it off our physical, emotional, and spiritual lives. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over any spirit, not of the Holy Spirit, and we bind it off our emotional, physical, and spiritual lives. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over any spirit, not of the Holy Spirit, and we bind it off our emotional, physical, and spiritual lives. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us for in any way, if we've come into any agreement with any lie of the enemy about who we are, about who you are, that you would now sever us from any lie we've come into agreement with. Lord, we pray that we would be protected from any words that have been spoken about us or to us, knowingly or unknowingly, that would create any kind of assignment from the enemy to now be broken in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us if we have spoken any word, knowingly or unknowingly, critically, judgmentally, towards anyone, Lord, that came from a place of judgment, of frustration. We ask you now, Lord, to sever that, to forgive us, and that that word would have no impact upon whom we spoke it about. And Lord, that you would give us, all of us, the ability to see one another from heaven's perspective. Please let us no longer see one another from earth's perspective, but to see one another as you see us, Lord. And when we are out there and we have an opportunity to love this world whom you have given your life for, we can see what it is that you see. Help us let go of our agendas and embrace yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's offer one another a sign of Christ's peace.
I love you.